Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke 16. Luke 16. We're a little ways into this year, but not too far, I think, to still talk about some goals for this year. Luke chapter 16, a big year through little things. Luke 16, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight and to sing these hymns of worship to you. And I pray now that the Holy Spirit would have his way in each of our hearts. Lord, we do acknowledge your presence here with us, and we do acknowledge that we need your help to understand and to apply your word. So we ask for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is what? Least. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in what? Much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. Now, I dare say if you had a child and you said, okay, I think you're old enough now, you can drive the riding lawnmower. And so your son or your daughter goes out there and you see them the first day, they're being real careful, but the next day, if your lawnmower will pop a wheelie. I haven't seen too many lawnmowers in my day that will do that, but when I was a boy, I forget what brand that was, but it was a rear engine lawnmower, and it was my job to mow the church. I wish I could remember the name of that thing, but the clutch was so catchy on it. It actually would just, I mean, you wasn't trying to, but it would pop those wheels off, front wheels off the ground some, and had that motor right on the very back, so all the weight was back there. But not too many lawnmowers do that. But anyway, if your child was really careful out there mowing the first day, but then after a few weeks you saw him out there popping wheelies and driving around the yard, top speed, then if it come time to get his or her license, you may think, you know what? I'm not so sure they were faithful in that which is least. You know, if they're doing that around the yard, and end up hitting a tree head on with a lawnmower, you'd probably say, I don't think I quite trust you yet for the car, because he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. I wonder how many times we are praying and hoping for big things and just can't understand why God doesn't give us those things. But God's looking at it from a totally different perspective, not from the young person, can't wait to get my driver's license, but from the parent's view of, okay, this person has been faithful in that which is least, and now I can give them reign over much. And so God is looking down, knowing full well that we can't handle what we are maybe praying for or thinking we deserve. But he knows, because he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. We were headed for the doctor's office this weekend, that really bad day, and the roads were icy, and we got a little later start than we wanted to, and I just wasn't thinking. And so we got a little later start than I wanted to, and we got going on 57, and there were three cars, if I remember correctly. I'm like Brother Roland. My wife has a much better memory than me. If I just had a texting up here, where she could text me real fast, that would. Maybe I could get my facts straight there. So I appreciate what Brother Roland said. But anyway, I think there's three cars, and we got on 57, and I thought, and they were going 35 miles an hour. And I thought, I don't think we're going to get there on time. But my thought was, well, you know what? The doctor's going to know, listen, the roads are bad. There's probably a lot of people that are going to get to the doctor late today. So, that was my first thought. But before I'd left the house, I just had acknowledged the Lord. And let's turn there to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. And so I just, acknowledged the Lord. Lord, we need your help. And Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge. You know, that's a big word. But, you know, acknowledge. If we acknowledge one another, we just are acknowledging that we're there, that each other are there. You know, we greet one another. And there's so many times that we forget God is there. You know, suppose I was struggling with a math problem, and I didn't bother to consult Brother Ken or Mrs. Gaffney. And so here I'm trying to figure this out in my mind. And here are two people, well, probably many of you, that would know how to do that. But wouldn't it be foolish of me just to go on trial and error, when someone is right there who knows the answer? But how many times do we do that with God? We just, He is there. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world," in Matthew 28:20. But how many times do we forget to acknowledge Him? So before we left that morning, I acknowledged Him. And so we're behind these cars going 35 miles an hour. And I'm thinking we're not going to make it. But then the Lord reminds me, "You acknowledged me," and the Lord just gave me a peace. "Okay, I acknowledged you, Lord. Well, whatever time we get there will be your time." Within 2 or 3 miles, those three cars turned off. I couldn't tell you how many times in my life I've been in a hurry to go west. Not for the gold in California, but west to get to Grand Rapids for whatever reason. And I've gotten behind cars that were going slow. And I have followed them all the way to 131. And so this day, you know, I've acknowledged the Lord, and here I get behind three cars going 35 miles an hour, but within 2 or 3 miles, they all turn off. And guess what? My lane was clear of cars. Not clear of snow and ice, but clear of cars. And I'm saying, "Praise the Lord. Wow, this is a miracle." And so I keep on going. No cars in my way. And at Ramstill Road, a car is pulling up to 57. And inside I'm thinking, "No, don't do it. No, don't do it." He did it. Or she. Actually, I think it was a he. I can't blame this one on a she. So it was he. So he pulls out. He's probably thinking, "Boy, these roads are so icy. You know, that car coming at me is probably going so slow." Well, he got out and started going slow, you know. So, but you know what? I think it was within a mile, the Lord opened up from the other way, and I was able to pass that car. He may say, "Maybe you wouldn't ride with me on icy roads," but it really wasn't that bad. And so I couldn't tell you on how many days there's dry roads I've tried to pass cars on M57 going west, and I couldn't get by them because there was such a line coming the other way. And so the Lord opens up the way for me to pass that car, and all the way just about to the light at Northland Drive, the only time I was going to say ran into cars, but I didn't run into them, but the only time I came upon cars was just approaching the light. And so then behind at the light, we get going again, and there's a couple cars that are kind of going slow, but within a half mile, they turn off, and I'm just praising the Lord, my way is clear again. And about that time, I was getting excited because I was seeing God's hand move. And that's the way the Christian life ought to be, is we ought to acknowledge the Lord, and then that worry and fuss and frets. But I tell you something, when you begin to see God's hand moving, then it gets exciting, and then instead of saying, "I wonder if I'm going to make it on time. I wonder if I'm going to make it on time." Then it's, "Boy, this is neat. I mean, this is fun to see God work. I wonder what He's going to do next." And so I'm thinking all of these thoughts as we're on our way to the doctor, just praising the Lord for all that He has done. And so pretty soon you quit wondering about the outcome and And it brings an excitement. Your faith is being exercised. Let's go to Hebrews 5. Your faith is being exercised, and you're seeing God's hand at work. You know, being a Christian and trying to live for the world, or one foot trying to serve God and the other foot trying to serve the world, is really a very frustrating life. Frustrating. But putting both of those feet down in God's path, following His path, it gets exciting. In Hebrews 5, verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when the time you ought to be teachers, ye have a need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, even those who by reason of what? Use. Reason of use have their senses what? Exercise to discern both good and evil. So God puts us in those positions, and there's one of two things we can do. We can complain and say, why go to the doctor on such a day as this? Or be frustrated saying, God, why did you allow all this snow and ice to come on this day? Or we can take it the matter of fact that, you know what? God's in control of the weather, and this could be exciting. All right? To see what God will do. Notice in Luke 1. You know, it's the difference. We all face trials in life, and it's the difference between a life of continual frustration and actually a life where you're actually excited just to see what God's going to do next. In Luke 1:37. For with God, what? Nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And in Jeremiah 32:27. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too what? Too hard for me? Well, the answer is no. So God continued to do the miraculous, and of course we had many other roads. We weren't heading south on 131. We were taking other roads. But you know what? What God showed me on 57 that day, it totally took away any apprehension about, you know, when we were going to get there. To me, it became an exciting adventure. And you know, the Christian life is like that. Does that mean we're not going to have any trials? No, it doesn't mean that. But we look at them from a whole different perspective. Excited to see what God is going to do. And I didn't look at my watch, but I believe my wife said, we got there 10 minutes early, wasn't it? 10 minutes early. Now, starting out, you know, as I said, I got a later start than I thought. And so, I mean, when she told me that, it didn't surprise me. It didn't surprise me because I saw God's hand at work. And it was exciting. It was exciting. So Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And let's turn here because I want you to see that phrase there. Proverbs 3. Will 2012 be a big year? Well, there's a lot of people saying the world's going to end this year. Well, we know the world's not going to end this year. The Lord may come back this year. This world's not going to end. It's got another 7 years of tribulation once we're out of here. And then it's got another 1,000 years of millennium. And then after that, the Lord's going to destroy this earth and make a new heaven and a new earth. So this earth has at least 1,007 more years. So 2012 is not the end of the world. Proverbs 3 verse 6 there, it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him in all thy ways. When we were doing the series on music, someone said to me or else wrote in, and they said, are you telling me we have to listen to God's music all the time? Well, actually, I think the way they phrased it was, are you trying to tell me I'm supposed to think about God all the time? What's wrong with that? I mean, as a Christian, what's wrong with that? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is what? Stayed upon thee. I would say that's pretty good. I'd say that's pretty good. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways. And that's when the Christian life gets exciting, is when we quit trying to do things in our own power. And when we start acknowledging him, that's when it gets exciting. Because that's when we see his hand at work. As long as our hands are trying to do it our way and we're trusting in our strength, life can really be a drag. But when we've committed our hands to him, and I'm not saying we should be lazy, I'm not saying that at all, but when we commit our works unto the Lord, our thoughts shall be established. And so in all thy ways acknowledge him. This will be a great year if we make it a year of every little thing acknowledging the Lord. Every little thing dedicating to God. If I go to the grocery store, acknowledge the Lord. I need your help, Lord. If I go to the gas station, I need your help, Lord. You know that, by the way, the price fluctuates. You know you need his help. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And that reminds me, thinking that, in all thy ways. This will be a great year if we make it a year of details. And that, you ladies have an advantage on us guys at that, because you pay more attention to details. If I were to ask you what color was Brother Roland's suit this morning, probably none of the guys would remember. He had a suit on. That's all I know. What color was his tie? What color was his shirt? Probably the ladies could tell you. Us guys would. But if we make this a year of details, in that we acknowledge God in everything. Thinking of that, let's go then to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. I couldn't tell you how much of my life I have, done so many of the details of life, not really committing them to God. I mean, they were things I had to do thinking, well, this this isn't going to take a crane that lifts 20 ton to do this job, but I need the Lord in everything. And look here in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18. It says, in what? Everything. Proverbs 3, 6 said, in all thy ways. You know what? The people that say, do I have to think about God all the time? You know what? I can tell you one thing, their Christian life is a real drag. But I'll tell you, if you want an exciting, adventuresome life, just commit every detail of your life to God, and you'll see his hand. So Proverbs 3, 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, in everything, what? Give thanks. Now, how many of us here tonight want to be in the will of God? All of us. We want God's perfect will. Well, it says right here, in everything give thanks, for this is what? The will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But we have a problem. If we are not, I know a lot of times people may say, well, give thanks and everything. But you know what? The fact of the matter is we will not give thanks in everything if we are not committing all of our ways to Him, if we are not acknowledging Him in all of our ways, we're not going to be thanking Him. Why? Because we didn't ask Him. I find myself now thanking the Lord all the time because I'm acknowledging Him all the time. Lord, I'm going to town. I got to do this or that. I need you. I was headed to the post office again. We probably should, just for experience sake, let each family do what Mrs. Gaffney does each week. Go to the post office and wait in a long line, or have a long line form behind you that's angry because you're checking in so many orders. And that is one thing that I used to dread, was going to the post office because of those two things, either having to wait in a long line or getting people behind me a long line, and they were complaining. But so every time I go to the post office, I acknowledge the Lord. Lord, you know, I acknowledge your presence with me, and I need you in this. And I couldn't tell you how many times I've gone to the post office. I did it this week again, and no one was there. No one. I don't know how they're doing financially, but... But God just answers prayer. And so then I thank Him. And what I find is, since I've been acknowledging Him in everything, you know what? I'm thanking Him all the time. I'm thanking Him all the time. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for helping me get into the post office so quick. Thank you, Lord. I couldn't tell you how many times I've checked out at Meijer's and a long line. And before I go into that store, acknowledge the Lord. And he does the miraculous. Most of the time, if we're honest with ourselves, most of the time we don't thank God for all the little things in our lives because we don't ask Him for His help. We just did it ourselves, and we don't even think of thanking Him. Well, I went to the store. You went to the store. Did you thank the Lord for helping you? No. Well, let me ask you another question. Did you ask the Lord to help you before you went? Well, I was just going to the store. You know, does it take a miracle to go to the store? Well, if it doesn't take a miracle to get there, it takes a miracle at the checkout lane, amen, to pay for it. So that's our problem. That's why the Christian life isn't exciting for many professing Christians, because every detail of their lives is not committed to God. They're not asking for help, so they're not thanking Him for help because He's not part of the equation. I never was good in those letter, number, conglomeration problems. I'm sorry. That was the old math school. You know, just please give me a real number, you know, to work with. Sorry about that, young people, in all your math classes there. But the problem is we don't obey this verse. And remember what it says in verse 18. In everything what? Give thanks, for this is what? It's the will of God. In what? Okay, in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, let's go back to the first of the verse. In what? Everything give thanks. Are we doing that? Are we really doing that in everything? Every one of us want to be in the will of God. But are we doing this? This is the will of God, that in everything we give thanks. Well, I tell you tonight, we are not going to be obeying that if we are not acknowledging Him in everything. But if we don't ask Him, we're not going to thank Him. If we don't ask, we're not going to thank, because we're not even going to think of Him, because we're doing it ourselves. How many times do you go, you men now, probably you're the one, check the house, make sure it's locked up before you go to bed. That's my job before I go to bed. Make sure all the doors are locked. From there, I don't know what you do. You may get out your gun and roll it and see how many bullets is in there, or you may get your... flashlight billy club, you know, see if the light works and make sure it still fits the hand. You may make sure the phone is there and charged up. I don't know what you do. And I'm not against any precaution you want to take. That's fine. Abraham had armed his trained servants when they were needed. So, but you know what? The last thing, when I go to, just before I go to sleep, the bottom line is I tell the Lord, Lord, I acknowledge you, because when it comes right down to it, I can't protect my family. Only you can. I'll do the best I can to be prepared, but I can't do it, Lord. You must do it. And you know what? Then in the morning, my first thought is, thank you, Lord, for seeing us through the night. Thank you, Lord. Because I wasn't trusting in my weapon. I wasn't trusting in whatever I have handy, you know, to throw. I was trusting in him. And so I thank him. You see, that's God's will. Verse 18. It's not going to be a big year if we're not faithful in that which is least. In every little detail. And let me tell you something. That's, you know, some people say, well, that's too much. Too much. That's excitement is what it is. You try it. It's exciting. It's exciting. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And, you know, the Lord can't trust us when we're novices, per se, in this matter. He wants us to have experience in asking and thanking him. Notice in 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 6. Not a novice, lest being lifted up with what? Pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. It's like with Gideon. God had to do a test at the water because he said, you know what? There's still too many of you. Because if you beat the battle right now, you're still going to take the credit. So I've got to whittle you down a little further. You know, Solomon in his life, God blessed him with great wisdom, but in 1 Kings chapter 3, when God comes to him and asks him, what shall I give thee? And Solomon asked for wisdom. And in fact, maybe we should go there, because I want you to see the words he uses. 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And verse 7. 1 Kings 3, 7. He has already spent time as governor under his dad, but now his dad passes away. And in 1 Kings 3, in verse 7, well, we'll start in verse 5, 1 Kings 3, 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am what? But a little child. I know not what. Okay, how to go out or come in? Well, Solomon, I know you. You know, he live in the palace. And, of course, he's going to build his own. But Solomon, you're a grown man. You're a grown man, Solomon. And you're saying you're a little child, and you don't know how to go out or come in. Solomon, are you trying to tell me you can't even go outside lest you get lost? That's the humility he had before God. I am, verse 7, but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. Verse 8, and thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great people? And the speech pleased the Lord. That's what we need. And Solomon was saying, I don't know how to go out or come in. I mean, It's kind of like consulting your GPS system to get to the grocery store. And you may say, I can handle that. Solomon was saying, God, I need your help. I can't go out or come in without your help, your direction in my life. So as we consider it, what we've looked at is, in all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And then in everything give thanks. We must do it in that order, or we're never going to be in the will of God. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And so that brings us to Philippians 4. Remember, this year, to be a great year, to be a big year spiritually, it's got to be a year of little things done right, little things, everything committed to God. Philippians 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for what? For nothing, but in what? Everything. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you realize how many people in this world are so troubled? I mean, they worry about everything. We don't have to as Christians. If, verse 6, in everything by prayer, we will come to God. So, spiritual success. This can be a big year spiritually if we make it a year of paying attention to details, acknowledging the Lord in all thy ways, acknowledging him. In everything, giving thanks. And to do that, we'll have to be, verse 6 here, in everything by prayer. We'll have to ask him. It's a building block process. And so that brings us to another thing, Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 14. Philippians 2:14. Philippians 2:14 says, do what? All things without murmurings and disputings. How can we ever accomplish that in 2012? How can we ever accomplish a whole year without murmuring and disputing something? We will never do it unless, Proverbs 3:6, we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. And then because of that, then in everything give thanks. Because when we acknowledge him, he's gonna make things exciting. He's gonna do things we can't do. And that will bring us to prayer in Philippians 4, in everything by prayer. And then here in Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputing. It's like this, going to the doctor the other day. I wasn't murmuring. I wasn't complaining. Actually, inside, I was excited when I saw what God was doing. Now, maybe some of you don't enjoy driving through the snow, and as my wife will testify, I kind of enjoy the thrill of driving through snow anyway. But it was exciting to me just to see God's hand at work. And so if we will do things in all our ways acknowledge him, in everything give thanks, and come to him in prayer and in everything, then Philippians 2:14, we will succeed in doing all things without murmurings and disputings, because I had no complaints about going to the doctor that day. You know what? What it did was made me excited to see God's hand at work. And so those four things. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In everything by prayer. In everything give thanks. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. So, and we're out of time, but there's so many examples in the scripture of where people acknowledge the Lord. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, children love to hear about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're thrown into the fiery furnace, and they come out alive. And while they were in there, there was a fourth person with them, a form like the Son of God. And so as the young men sang that song last week or week before, whatever it was, you know, who would have dreamed that God was going to set them free through the fire? But he did. But in closing, let's go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. The key is found here. Matthew 10, verse 39. Matthew 10, 39. He that findeth his life shall what? Lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall what? Find it. Daniel was paying attention to the little things. Remember when he was praying, he kneeled three times a day before his open window and prayed. That was just the details of his life. And the guys who were watching him at work, the guys who didn't like it that he was being promoted, his co-workers that were so against him, they couldn't find anything on him except for his religion somehow. And so they thought, if we can just outlaw prayer, we'll get rid of Daniel. We'll have his job. But you know what? He kneeled on his knees before that open window after the law was made, and he was thrown in the lion's den. But you know what? God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth. God protected Daniel. And just think of all the little children ever since then who have heard that story. Daniel in the lion's den. And it all started right back here in verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Daniel was willing to commit the little details of his life to the Lord and stick with him, even if it meant the threat of losing his life. And God spared him through it. There are things in my life I could have lost jobs. I remember I was witnessing on a job. I worked at a pharmacy, and their customers had charge accounts, and so I would fold up gospel tracts in the charge account paper. And finally, one day, the vice president of the company, and he said to me, he said, I had a lady call in. She was angry. She found a gospel tract. She said she's a Christian, but she was angry. Can you figure that one out? You think she'd be happy? Hey, praise God, I'm going to give this pharmacy more business. I'm a Christian. Obviously, somebody there is a Christian. They're not only getting medicine to people, but they're getting the gospel. You know, he told me, he says, he started in saying, you know, this lady called in, and I just interrupted him and said, I did it. I did it. And he says, well, if it happens again, we're going to have to let you go. And he was the vice president of the company. And they had just started in Chattanooga, Tennessee, they had just started doing TV commercials. And he was the guy, vice president. He was the guy that always appeared in the TV commercials. Vice president, he's threatening me. This happens again, you've lost your job. Well, I didn't wrap up any more tracks in there. But I did a lot of witnessing, and it was a job where I could keep track of my own time, and so I just deducted my time. And I didn't expect them to pay me to witness, but if the opportunity arose, then I witnessed, and I deducted my hours, and I handed out gospel tracts everywhere, but I didn't roll up anymore, you know, on their charge account papers. But the fact of the matter is, and of course, he claimed to be a Christian, too. He was Church of Christ, but they believe in baptismal regeneration, and we talked about that one day, I says, well, what about the thief on the cross? He wasn't baptized. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And he said to me, he says, my wife asked me about that just recently, and he says, I don't want to talk about it. So, but anyway, what happened not too long after that? He's the vice president of the company. He's threatening to let me go. And what happened in the company, I don't know. But he was out. He was let go. So I'm just a lowly delivery man, delivering medicine. And it wasn't me fired. It was him let go. And so, you know what? God takes care of his own. God takes care of his own. And I tell you, in my life, it's not a burden committing every little thing to God. It's not a burden keeping my thoughts focused on Him. That's That's not a burden. That's not keeping me from anything good. I tell you what it's doing is it makes life an adventure. It's just like sending out those gospel tracts. Was that a burden? No, it's exciting. It's like sowing secret seeds, you know, and just excitement about what might happen, who might respond. So this can be a big year for us spiritually, individually and as a church, if we will pay attention to every little thing and commit it to God. Commit it to God. Just acknowledge Him in everything. That's the only way we're going to thank Him in everything is to acknowledge Him in everything. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. And Lord, we are so unworthy of the least of Your mercies. But Lord, I'm just excited. I'm just excited at what You've done this week. Just to acknowledge You and to see Your hand at work. Lord, there's nothing more exciting in life than to see Your hand at work in this world. And Father, we've also sent out those gospel tracts, and Lord, we ask that we could see Your hand at work in those as well. We do acknowledge You in those tracts. So Father, I pray that You would help us. Lord, we do want to obey Your word. We don't want to murmur. You say, do all things without murmurings and disputings. But Lord, without acknowledging You in all things, in all our ways, that is what we do. We do murmur because we get frustrated, because we're not seeing Your hand, because we're not asking to see Your hand. We're thinking we can do all these things in our own power, and we can't. We get frustrated. Father, I pray this would be the year where in everything, in all things, in all our ways, we would acknowledge You, that we would put You first. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.